Good morning and welcome to the gathering of Recreate Church, where no matter your story, you are welcome, you are wanted, and you are loved. I want to blow your mind with something here really quick. You know, we record a podcast every week. All right, let's give a shout out to the folks listening, okay? Good morning. We love you. Okay, you look around and we got a pretty decent crowd this morning, but there's more people listening to the podcast than show up. How about that? Isn't that wild? I don't even know what to say about that. To God be the glory. That's what I'll say. To God be the glory. You know, I don't think we're any more special than anybody, but God has seen fit to keep us here and keep us working. Hey, we got more room. We got more room to grow. We got more room to do some things in this community. And, you know, I'll try to talk to people about the Lord. I hope you're trying to talk to people about the Lord, encourage them. Something I've heard a lot through the years is, you know, it's not that I don't believe anything, I just don't like organized religion. You've heard that? Don't like organized religion. Boy, do I ever have good news for you. You don't like organized religion? Well, we're not all that organized. We have some people really trying very hard to get us organized here, and God bless them, but we're not all that organized. And as for religion, religion isn't our thing. Now, that might surprise you. Say, well, wait a minute. You're a church. Shouldn't religion be your thing? No, look, not if we call religion, if religion is the way man tries to get to God by his behavior, then no, we're not into religion. We're into Jesus. We don't preach religion, we preach Jesus. Jesus is how God got to man, how God became man and walked among us and gave his life for us. So we're about Jesus, not so much about religion. If you connect with God, Jesus, you're going to connect with God. So I cannot blame people for feeling frustrated with religious organizations and religious leaders sometimes. I know personally what it's like to suffer some pain at the hands of religious organizations and religious leaders, and I bet a lot of you might be able to tell some kind of story that's not so different. I wish it wasn't so, but through the 2,000-year history of the Jesus movement, there have been some organizations and some leaders who have used their position and their influence for their own gain at the expense of people like you and like me, people who were more in love with power than with people, more in love with tradition than transformation. So much of what is at the heart of Recreate Church is that heart for people who have some good reasons to be skeptical about church, who've maybe had some bad experiences and are a little leery of it. We love those people, partly because we are those people. A lot of us have experienced that, or people we care about have experienced that. So we want to help people reconnect with this community of faith and reconnect with the life and transformation of Jesus. The name of our church is Recreate Church, and sometimes that throws people off. I know you might say, well, what are you recreating? It's all good stuff. You don't have to make up anything new. No, we're really recapturing something very old, something in the beginning that you see in the early days of the New Testament, people who loved one another and loved God, and a lot of the sort of the decorations and the trappings and a lot of the traditions hadn't gotten in the way yet, and that's kind of where we're trying to get back to. Of course, the problem of toxic leadership is not limited to religion. We have this thing called politics, and we see lots of people in the political world who seem to be in a position trying to get their own advantage out of it. I got a laugh this morning that when I saw Brian when he came in, he said, I didn't see you at first. And the title of the message was Toxic Leadership, Getting Rid of Toxic Leadership. And I didn't see you. And I'm like, dang, not yet. There was a slide up. Sorry, Jenna, I'm forgetting that. We're planning a prayer meeting a couple of Sundays from now, April 21st, today's the 7th, so what's that make it, two Sundays from now, it's a family prayer meeting. Pray for your family, for your church family, for families around our community, okay? It's kind of like a family-centered prayer meeting, all right? So keep that in mind. So back to where we were, toxic leadership. We see it in politics, certainly. We see it in workplaces. Have you ever worked for or with somebody who seemed very much more about themselves than others and could be called toxic? It happens in organizations. It happens in families. Families that the influential people in a family are not always using that in a positive way, and it certainly happens in churches as well. Whenever we're subject to a leader who does not have our best interests in mind, it's frustrating and it's painful, and we should hold such leaders accountable, should answer for that. And you know who else should answer for the way that they use their power and influence? You and me. And you're going to say, wait a minute, preacher, I don't have a position of leadership. I don't have a title. I'm here to tell you, first of all, leadership is not a title. Leadership is influence. You've known people who had the title who were not leaders in any positive way. You've known those people. Leadership is influence, with or without a title. If you have to rely on your title to get something done, it's not a good thing. Positional authority is the lowest form of authority. But you have the ability to influence people, to lead by your influence, even if you don't have a title or a position. God expects you to use the influence you have to make a difference. You have the ability and the responsibility. And if we are frustrated with toxic leadership, then we need to demonstrate true leadership. And here's the core idea for today. True leaders seek to serve, not to be served. True leaders seek to serve, not to be served. Now, based on that definition, is there a whole lot of leadership in our current world? Not really. But this is the way it should be. This is the example that Jesus set for churches, for nations, for workplaces, families, and everyday lives. Jesus is the ultimate example of servant leadership. And we've been following his story in Mark chapter 12. We're towards the end of Jesus' life. So if you want to find that, if you got your Bible with you, Mark chapter 12, kind of towards the end. Jesus is in the last few days of his earthly life. Maybe 48 hours after this, he's going to be hanging on a cross, giving his life for you and for me. He's explained this to the disciples. They don't really get it. He knows what's going to happen, but he's not running from it. Why? Because true leaders seek to serve. And his ultimate act of service was the giving of his own life. So Jesus, up until this point, he's the last few days of his life, he's had multiple run-ins with religious leaders and some very negative experiences with religious leaders within the Jewish community there, his own people. And they would come to him again and again trying to embarrass him. Well, what happened every time? He embarrassed them and they went away. And they're not going to bother him anymore. Well, they're going to bother him in one pretty awful way. They're not going to publicly confront him anymore. And he looks around at his disciples and he kind of gives this summary, all right, of what he thinks of this toxic leadership. It's a final condemnation of toxic leadership. It's in Mark 12, 38 through 40. Now, running under the surface is the opposite of toxic leadership. It's true leadership seeks to serve, not to be served. Now, what he's going to point out here is leaders who are seeking to be served, to be recognized for their own advantage. So let's read that and let's pray. Then he said to them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, loving greetings in the marketplace, and the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at the feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we live in a world where we see so many leaders who do not seem to have the interest of their followers in mind. Lord, I pray you'll help us to understand that, understand how it should be, and to use whatever leadership or whatever influence we have in a positive way. God, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, did you see these on the way in? These bracelets, you can grab some of those. There's more colors this time. Some of them, I think, are glow-in-the-dark. I don't remember which ones. So somebody can figure that out and let us know. These say, "Recreate Church, Welcome, Wanted, Loved." All right? There's no magic in it. It's not a lucky charm or a talisman, but it is a reminder that you are welcome, you are wanted, you are loved by God and by us. All right, now, verse 38. He said to them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats at the synagogues, and the best places at feasts." So, we've heard of the scribes before, right? They had an important job. They were religious leaders whose primary role was to make handwritten copies of the scriptures. And they were good at that part of their job. They were incredibly meticulous, incredibly careful. It is thanks in part to the hand of God on these faithful scribes to record the Old Testament that we have such a reliable Old Testament all these years later. So thank God for what they did. However, there was another part of their job that they were not so good at. Because they had so much time in the scriptures, they read the scriptures more than anybody, people would sometimes come to them for a clarification, say, "Well, what does this mean?" Or "What does the scripture say about this or about that?" That's not a problem. That's a good thing. That's a needed thing. We need some people who know the Word of God a little better than us that we can go to them and talk to them and ask. But where it went wrong was that when they came to some part in the Old Testament law, and the Old Testament law wasn't as specific as they would like it to be, they would come up with some kind of an interpretation or a tradition. That the law kind of went here and stopped, and then they would add a bunch of stuff to it to explain, say, "Well, here's what it says, but I think it means this, 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 and this," and they would add a lot on. You know, that's starting to be a problem. When you go beyond where the scripture stops, you're going to get yourself in big trouble. But where it was even a bigger problem is when they started holding up their interpretations and traditions as though they were equal to the actual Word of God, that they had equal authority to the Word of God. Now, that's a huge, huge, huge problem. And that's a problem that hasn't gone away. Many of the abuses of power by people calling themselves ministries and organizations calling themselves churches are rooted in a twisting and a corruption of the truth of the Word and adding the traditions of men and adding the teachings of men to it. So many times I have heard people say stuff like, "Oh, well, the church did this, the church did that," in reference to something that's really negative and that's like totally not in alignment with the scriptures. And I just want to say, hey, yo, just because the name on the sign out front says church on it does not mean necessarily that they represent the truth of God or they really know Jesus or His Word. In the southern United States, if you have ever been mistreated by religious leadership in a way that is not consistent with the Word of God, that was not okay. Remember that Jesus had problems with religious leadership too. That's who had Him killed. It was the leaders, the religious leaders that pushed for His death. He understands that. He understands your pain. Look, remember this. Not everybody who claims to follow Jesus and His teaching really knows Him or really lives by His teaching. Anybody can say they're a Christian, and they may not represent the truth. And also keep this in mind. Even somebody who really is saved can really get off, you know, or really have something really wrong, okay? So, hey, I'm your pastor, but that does not make me infallible. If you feel like I'm preaching or teaching anything that is not in line with the Word of God, I want to hear about it, okay? I want you to say, don't hurt my feelings or anything too bad because I'm real sensitive. But why y'all laughing at that? Can't a man be sensitive? Why y'all laughing? No, but seriously, like a respectful challenge, that's really okay. Now, you would probably say, "Well, Michael, if you were serious, you probably wouldn't cut up so much." But doggone, it just kind of how I am all the time. You can ask my kids. Me cutting jokes all the time is not something I do just on Sunday. It's pretty much how I live my life. But understand this. Hear this, please. The interpretations and declarations of any religious leader or religious organization will never have the authority of the scriptures themselves. That's when the leaders make their word law, that's how we get cults. So be careful. So that's a problem, big problem. Scribes had a problem, but that's not the problem He's calling them out for on this particular day. He's calling them out for their love of recognition. these guys were very hypocritical, specifically because they were so-called experts in the Scriptures while simultaneously disrespecting the Scriptures by saying that their teaching was equal to the Scriptures. But the common people hadn't seen that side yet. They didn't see that yet. Remember, common people didn't have a lot of access to the Scriptures. And you look through the history of belief, and when the common people don't have access to the Scriptures, things get really sideways. That's why you need to be reading your Bible every day, because you're going to meet some people in your walk that are off base, okay? And you need to be grounded in your Word so you know and you don't get deceived by anything. So the common people, though, to the common people in this very religious community, these spiritual leaders were like celebrities. You see a scribe going by, and you're like, oh, man, that's a scribe. Wow. And they would wear these long, flowing robes that swept the ground, and that was a sign of their office. You know, most people didn't wear such a long robe because they did manual labor. But these guys were the scholars. These guys were the heroes. So they wore these long robes, and when people saw them coming, they would kind of part ways and let this very important guy through. And they loved that. They loved these nice greetings in the marketplace. When it came time for their worship service in the synagogue, the scribes would get to sit right up front, right next to the chest where they kept the scrolls of the Old Testament, so they could be called upon because they were so great and so honored. When there was a feast or an event, the scribes got the best seats, and they were the VIPs, and they loved it. They loved it. They loved the honor and the admiration and the recognition more than they loved the people. The world has a lot of leaders like that. A lot of them who love the prestige more than they love the people. Maybe you've worked for somebody or with somebody who loved to be seen as the big shot, who was all too ready to take credit for other people's work and to be seen as the one who had all the answers. That kind of leadership is toxic. Any kind of leader who is in love with recognition is not a leader after the example of Jesus. Jesus demonstrated that true leaders seek to serve, not to be served. Okay, let's go to verse 40. This one gets a little mad. I feel like getting a little mad, like the right kind of mad. We're told that these scribes devoured widows' houses. I already don't like that. Already makes me mad. Devoured widows' houses. In that culture, women whose husbands had passed away were especially vulnerable. They did not have a lot of support. They did not have a lot of outlets. So sometimes a scribe or another religious leader would kind of step in and be like an estate planner, okay? That's not automatically a bad thing. If you've got someone who is truly honorable and trustworthy that can help you in a time like that, that's good. But sometimes these scribes would use their power or their influence in a very negative, a very selfish way. There were times when these religious leaders would sweet-talk these widows into giving the whole estate away to the synagogue or to the temple. Now, with, of course, the understanding that, oh, this would be so blessed of God if you were to do this. But this was also exploitation here. This was an example of exploitation. Who's going to pay for all them long, beautiful robes? You know, it's exploitation. And Jesus is calling them out for it. He's calling them out for using people. Now, let's do be painfully real, though, for a moment. There is a long history of vulnerable people being exploited in the name of religion. That is shameful. It's terrible. I'm sorry that that has happened. It makes me furious because it still happens, y'all. Makes me furious when celebrity preachers are all making their big pitch for money and promising, you know, hey, I realize you got to have money to do ministry. That's not the problem. But it's promising that if you just do this, God will favor you and you'll get your prayers answered and all of that. And they prey upon people who are very often struggling and desperate. And for what? For a private jet? For a bigger mansion? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Jesus didn't even have a horse. He walked everywhere he went. I don't get it. It puts a stain on the beauty of faithfully giving to the work of God, which is something we should do, but it kind of makes it ugly. it gives the critics the opportunity to say, oh, look at that. Church people just want your money. How funny is that? Jesus is here calling people out for that kind of attitude. He's calling people out. He's calling out and condemning religious leaders who prey on vulnerable congregants. No faithful church is going to exploit people. It's just not. So to counter, one of the things we do here, because we know people have kind of had that experience, okay? And people also have the excuse, oh, the church just wants their money. You know, in the whole history of Recreate Church, how many times we've ever passed an offering plate? Zero. Zero. I don't know what people give on purpose. I could probably find out, but I don't want to know. I want to treat everybody kindly and equally. So we have our offering boxes. We have the Tithely app. I think we're going to get some envelopes. Some of you guys are used to envelopes. We'll probably get some of those and have them around if you want to do that. But we just want to understand we're much, much more interested in you and your life and your soul than any of your resources. All right? You are what we're interested in, because that's what God is interested in. See, there's only a tiny handful of millionaire religious leaders. A few of them are paid huge salaries by the ministry, but more of them have a lot of money from like book sales and things. And some of these guys are very questionable in the way they use their wealth, and sometimes very questionable in the way they use church funds. But here's the problem. Guys like that get a lot of attention, but they're like a teeny tiny percentage of pastors. Social media gives the impression that ministers are in it for the money. Boy, I shouldn't let things bother me, okay? You ever get on Facebook and get mad, then get off Facebook? Yeah, me too. Because I'll see people like saying, oh, well, this pastor's doing all this. Look, the church just wants your money. Will you allow me to paint a little alternative picture? That'd be all right. In the United States of America, at least one out of three pastors works a full-time job to make it possible for them to be in ministry. One out of three works a full-time job. I'm one of those guys, and that's okay. And I love it. You know, I tell people at work, I tell them when they say something, I say, I'm only here to support my preaching habit. I just got to have this job to support my preaching habit, y'all. They don't know what to say about that. I don't actually go into my work telling everybody I'm a pastor. I kind of hope they'll figure it out a little bit, because, you know, if you go into work and you have to tell everybody you're a Christian, you might not be doing it right. Now, don't hide it or anything. But your life should say something like, wait a minute, something different about this guy. And I said, well, what's this about? I say, hey, man, I'm a believer. This is how I live. So, you know, they eventually figured out. I don't think they all got it figured out yet, but most of them do. Look, even more pastors have a spouse that is working as well in order to bring in supplemental income. And sometimes the spouse is the breadwinner, or the spouse is the one who's carrying the insurance. So, I've known many pastors in my life, many, many of them, and I have known very few who are able to have anything like a comfortable life just on what they make from being a pastor. You know, hey, you can ask my kiddos, and we have at least one PK in the room, preacher's kid in the room. You ask them how cushy it is to be a pastor's kid and the luxury that you enjoy. You know, it's just not, that's not the life. If you're getting into ministry for money, boy, are you going to be disappointed. But that's all right. Some things are worth a lot more than that. I give God the glory, and there's been some tight years for us, but thank God for people who've really helped us and come through for us. But the point is, there are very few toxic leaders in ministry who can make themselves wealthy by exploiting people. And Jesus calls those people out. He calls them out, that is not the way it's supposed to be. True leaders seek to serve, not to be served. Okay, so they make a pretense for, you're in the right place, verse 40. For a pretense make long prayers. Now, the scribes loved to impress people with how religious they were. That's why they had the long fancy robes. They wore these phylacteries. Are you familiar with those? It was like a headband with a box on it, and the box would have scriptures inside it. And you can still see some of Hasidic Jewish priests have these boxes, and it's not automatically wrong, but these guys would make their boxes really big because they wanted to show everyone how very, very spiritual they were. I don't get it, but that's what they did. And one of their favorite things to do to show everyone how spiritual they were long public prayers. Let me be very clear. There's nothing wrong with public prayers. There's nothing even wrong with long public prayers. Unless you're saying grace over a meal. When you're giving thanks for the meal, your prayer should be like my little wife up here in the front row. Short and sweet. I used to go to some associational meetings, and there was like one pastor they would call on to do the mealtime prayer, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I love this brother, but I wish they would not call on him. Because, look, you should be praying for lots and lots and lots of things, but when it's time to eat and people are hungry, you should probably be praying for the food, okay? And after everybody's filled, then you go back and say, hey, now that everybody's had their fill, now let's have our big, long, long, long prayer. So the problem is pretense. The problem is pretense. They wanted people to be impressed with how spiritual they were. Their motivation was not to be heard by God, but to be heard by people, not to worship God or call upon Him to intercede, but to be admired. And look, there's a lot of ministries out there who like to make a name for themselves and hype things up. But understand this. The best thing we need to be hyped about is Jesus. The attention is for Him, not for us. All pride is ugly, but spiritual pride is extra ugly. You've heard of a face not even a mama could love. Well, mama, don't even love that baby because it's so ugly. Spiritual pride is ugly, and it still exists. You know, a relationship with Jesus should make you humble, because if we really understand why we need Jesus, what have we got to be proud about? Maybe your story isn't as rough as some people's stories. But we all start out equally lost and in need of redemption. We all need Jesus so badly. A leader who puts the emphasis on their superiority is missing the point. Jesus once told a story in Luke 18 about two men who went to the temple to pray. Now, one of them was a prominent religious leader, well-respected. The other had a terrible reputation. The religious leader stood up and prayed aloud and said, God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of these people. They're out there sinning and cheating and running around on their wives. While I do all my religious duties, I say my prayers, I give my tithes. And I'm especially thankful that I'm not like that fella back there, that tax collector. The other guy, the guy with the bad reputation, the tax collector, I don't think he heard the first guy say this, because he was too busy bawling his eyes out, crying out to God. He didn't approach boldly with his hands raised. He was down on the ground, beating his chest and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, one of those two men went home justified that day. Which one was it? He who humbles himself will be exalted, and he who exalts himself will be humbled. True leader doesn't have to put on a show. They convince you of their greatness and their spirituality by the way they serve and the way they love. True leaders seek to serve, not to be served. I'm going to tell you one more story. There was a little girl, a six-year-old girl, who had a very serious disease, and things were very grave, and she needed a blood transfusion immediately. She had a very rare blood type. There was nobody who had that blood type in stock that could get there in time, except that her older brother, 8-year-old brother, had the same rare blood type. So the doctor and the parents sat down with the boy and told him, said, look, your sister needs your blood in order to survive. Will you do this? And the boy went quiet for a moment, and he said, okay, I'll do it. So they drew some blood, and they tested it to be sure. Then they began the procedure. He didn't wince as they inserted the needles into his veins and filled bags with blood. And when that was done, the doctor let him watch as they started the blood drip to his little sister, and the color comes back into her cheeks, and she's obviously doing so much better than she was. And the little boy breathes a sigh of relief, and he looks up at the doctor, and he said, okay, so how long until I die? The boy thought he was giving all his blood to his sister. He thought he was giving his life for hers. Now, that little boy showed a level of love, and I will dare say, by this definition, a level of leadership that is rare in this world. True leaders don't seek what they can get. They seek to serve. Jesus said that the leaders who were like these scribes who were in it for themselves, they will receive a greater condemnation. That is his words, not mine. The world has enough selfish leaders in political offices, in workplaces, in organizations, in families, and yeah, even in churches. We got to counter that. If we want the world to be a better place, we could start by being servant leaders ourselves. Leaders like Jesus. You'll say, yeah, I don't have an official position. Okay, fine. But leadership is not a title. Leadership is not a position. Leadership is influence. And you all have some kind of influence. Use it like Jesus did. Lead in humility, concern for others, and service. Now, to the teenagers and young people back there in the paying attention corner, you guys will be the leaders soon enough. And I'm sorry to say the generations coming before you are not leaving you anything that's in good shape. Sorry. They're not leaving you a well-managed world. So you guys can lead by serving. Lead by serving. Set an example, okay? A lot of your generation doesn't even know God at all, has forgotten God entirely, but you guys are here. Lead the way Jesus would lead. So what about us? What do? We got, say you've got toxic leaders above you. You know, what do? We're going to pray. Pray that God will get to their hearts, first of all. Pray for people in high places to be saved. All right, the devil can't have them all, can he? Let's pray the devil's claws right out of the leadership of our nations and states and counties and governments everywhere and of churches and organizations. And let's pray that in our own families we can be leaders like Jesus, giving of ourselves, not trying to see what we can get, to set a different example. And I don't know if you're here looking for Jesus today to be saved, but I'll say this. A leader who will lay down his life for his followers is a leader worthy of your service. With all my heart, I encourage everyone to trust in Jesus and be saved. You can trust him. You can believe in him. He is the Savior. He is the good shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep. He's the ultimate servant leader. And the very best, wisest, smartest thing you can do is believe in him and follow him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I want to pray for anybody who right now who wants to follow Jesus, that they would cry out to you and pray something like this. Lord, I want to be saved. Please forgive me of all my sin. I want a different life. I believe that Jesus is the Savior. I believe he's your son. I trust in him and his sacrifice. Please save my soul and give me a new life in Jesus' name. And Lord, for all the folks who have done that just now or have done that years ago, God, I pray that we will be people who show leadership by our influence of serving, that you'll give us the ability, the opportunity, and the wisdom to confront toxic leadership when we find it. And God, we cry out right now for leaders all over our country and our communities and our world that they would get to know Jesus as Savior. And the world will be such a different place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you folks. Lord willing, we'll be back in the book of Mark next week and we'll finish up this chapter. I hope it's going to be good. All right. Take care. Have a good week. Love you guys. See you next time.